Obsession with bright lighting is making it increasingly difficult to view the night sky and causing major disruptions to our own circadian rhythms and the habit of our native wildlife. Wendy Frew has more.
Oh, what's that?
Right, you get up there, you see the star. You see it now?
Yeah, so that's the star.
Very shiny star.
Because it's shining so much. It's so beautiful.
You just heard parents and children excitedly peering through telescopes at a recent stargazing event on Sydney's northern beaches. The COVID-19 pandemic wasn't good for much, but it did spark interest in the night sky. According to not-for-profit advocate the Australasian Dark Sky Association, or ADSA, telescope sales soared during lockdowns. But it's not all good news. It's getting harder and harder to see the night sky. Linden Observatory in the Blue Mountains reports that many of the school children who visit have never seen the Milky Way. And that's because of what's known as light pollution.
So light pollution is meant to be, well, has been recognised by all sorts of different science faculties as the pollution that's growing the most. It is the fastest growing pollutant in the world, with up to 6% year on year.
That's ADSA founder Marnie Ogg. She recently completed a report for the federal government that investigated the best ways to conserve Australia's dark skies. For many astronomers, light pollution has been a disaster, but its impact is bigger than that. Our addiction to bright lights on buildings and streets and even in our backyards is massively disrupting natural cycles for humans and wildlife.
Light seems benign. It doesn't look like it's doing anything to harm our environment, but it's actually got multiple tentacles that reach out into so many different things. So it impacts our nocturnal animals. It makes sense that it would disrupt their nighttime cycles. It interrupts our own circadian rhythms and can have all sorts of complications with human health, with diabetes being correlated with it, Parkinson's, even Alzheimer's. So it's quite complicated with humans. Obviously the other thing is it complicates the night sky. We can't see the stars as we would like to see them in our cities. If anyone's ever travelled out to the country, you know how wonderful that night sky is, and yet it's there above us in the city. And then finally, the fourth reason is just because it's waste. Just having it on all the time is like having a hose on in your garden, running over concrete all the time. We don't need lights on all the time. It's increasing our carbon footprint.
Recent improvements in lighting efficiency have actually encouraged greater use of outdoor light.
And when you think about it, we're using light for more and more things. So it's not just to keep us safe on the roads or at night, but it's being used for entertainment, you know, billboards, lighting boards, street signs. We're using it in our homes more and more. It's becoming cheaper and cheaper to run as we get more and more technological advancements with LEDs. And so we, instead of replacing a flat piece of paper with a sign on it, we're actually putting digital notice boards in and things. And so it is absolutely a growing problem for our natural environment.
A report by environmental legal practice Lindsay Taylor Lawyers finds that little has been written about how law and policy can be used to reduce light pollution. And that makes it difficult for councils or governments who want to take action. For example, light pollution is not even covered by New South Wales' main pollution law, the Protection of the Environment Act. But ADSA's research shows there is growing interest among the public and policymakers about the night sky.
What was really heartening from our perspective was that there is a growing population of people all around the country that are really quite keen to embrace this. Always talk about the day, you know, we think about the environment being something that we conserve during the day, but seeing that the night is actually part of our cycle as well and that we also need to conserve it. So that's exciting. It's a pollution that we can solve really quickly. Unlike chemical pollutants or plastics that take years, hundreds, 400, 500 years to be released from the environment, literally the second you turn off the light, you've removed that issue in the environment. And so it's a really easy thing to solve, except for the complexities of how we use it and why we're using it and our associations, our social, our psychological associations with light.
Several Sydney councils are grappling with ways to protect their existing dark sky areas.
We have three councils that are actively pursuing activities in and around Sydney. So we have the Northern Beaches Council that are pretty close to designating Australia's first urban night sky place, which will be an international recognition of doing exactly what we're talking about, trying to preserve the natural environment on a nighttime basis, using good lighting and making it an area that people feel safe to go to at night. We have the Waverley Council, who's also adopting a very similar approach, trying to get a dark sky designation there. And then we have the Blue Mountains, which are looking at trying to create a dark sky community up in the hills of the Blue Mountains up there with Linden Observatory. So they're probably the three strongest actions being taken. I'm very aware of other councils looking at incorporating it within their their management plans, looking at how they use light. It's all pretty initial steps at this stage, but there's lots of questions on how they can incorporate sustainability on a nighttime plan as well in their council planning.
Australasian Dark Sky Association founder Marnie Ogg, ending that report by Wendy Frew.